You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. For the more than 600,000 people released from prisons each year across the country, reentering society is full of challenges, often facing stigma and red tape when looking for a job or housing. The Center of Employment Opportunities is a nationwide organization that provides those formerly incarcerated with career training, interview skills, job placements, and support they need to find stable employment. The Sacramento office has recently been taking their work a step further, connecting participants to the resources that they need to thrive beyond a job, like support for everyday necessities such as food, transportation, and health care. Carolyn Thomas is the site director of the Center for Employment Opportunities in Sacramento, and Sergio Maldonado is a participant in the program, and they join us now. Welcome to you both.
Hey, welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for taking the time. Well, Carolyn, I want to start with you. How did you become connected to this work?
I became connected to the work once I was actually offered a position there, and I had had previous experience working with unhoused individuals and just in general working with the housing industry at large. And so I was really drawn to it because of its mission statement and all of the good work and just the way that they were able to quantify the results for people across the nation.
In the time that you've been with the Center for Employment Opportunities, the acronym is CEO, correct?
CEO, okay, that is correct.
What have you learned about the challenges that someone runs up against once they've completed their time in prison that you hope that other people would better understand?
That there are many, you know, and that those challenges are things that we may take for granted. To a person, they are always faced with housing instability, followed very closely by transportation and then food insecurity as well. And so those things can be a real barrier to being able to not only find a job, but to keep a job and sustain it.
How long has the Center for Employment Opportunities been around in Sacramento and offering this help, or how long have you been doing this? Sergio, if you got the answer, go ahead.
Yes. Center of Employment Opportunities has been around since 2020. So we've been established here in California in the Sacramento office for roughly around 5 years. But as far as the whole organization throughout the East Coast, they've been around since 2015.
Wow. Okay. So for a decade and 5 years here in Sacramento. Well, Sergio, I mean, take me back to, you know, your experience navigating life once you completed your sentence and the challenges that you ran up against that ultimately connected you to the Center for Employment Opportunities.
Absolutely. So upon release, I was working at a nonprofit, and the nonprofit work I was doing was fundraising for children with cancer at UC Davis and St. Jude's Hospital. And when I was working there, my PO advised me that there is another nonprofit called Center Employment Opportunities. And within those 9 months of working at this previous nonprofit, unfortunately, due to federal funding, they couldn't fund the entire staff, so a lot of people were laid off. But that didn't stop me. I still wanted to help the community. I checked out Center Employment Opportunities. My PO had referred me there, and with that gave me a great start with not just beautifying the highways of California, but also helping the community of the justice impacted that I'm a part of.
What would you like people to better understand? So you complete your sentence, you are released. What kind of preparation or support do you receive?
Honestly, it's very overwhelming. It's very critical. And why I say this is because we only have $200 of gate money and very little knowledge to resources that is out there. Because in prison, there really is, or even in different facilities, there are many different outreach that we don't particularly know about because of the facility. Mm-hmm. But once you go to another facility, let's say, they'll have that outreach from that organization or nonprofit to let us know, hey, there's supportive services such as housing, such as transportation, such as food, and, you know, your regular hygiene and toiletries.
Yeah, I mean, in California, like the Guardian had an article about you know, the money that you receive upon release, and what's called as gate money, $200, as you just laid out, that's meant to help with the cost of food, housing, transportation. But that amount hasn't been increased for inflation since 1973. So that is more than 50 years ago. I mean, I would imagine $200 is not a lot of money to get you on your feet.
Most definitely. It most definitely was a struggle because with that $200, it only gave me enough to get back to the city of Sacramento from another city that I was housed at. And not only that, but it was hard to even buy groceries and buy the things I need, such as hygiene and clothes, because within that full day, you know, the $200 would be gone. Mm-hmm.
And Carolyn, I would imagine Sergio's story is not uncommon with the participants and the people that you help.
Unfortunately, it's very common. And I think that's another reason that the Center for Employment Opportunities has been such a shining light to the justice-impacted individuals. Because once they're accepted into our program, they are put to work. And they are paid daily. We put them to work for a period of about, 75 days? 75 days. And you may see them out on the highways around town where they're literally doing litter abatement and picking up trash, and they're paid daily. And so while they're doing this work, you know, those are helping to build the skills that they're going to need to move forward into permanent employment. And they do this work 4 days a week. One day a week, they come in and they meet with what we call our job coaches. And the job coaches will work with them. They meet them where they are. They help them build a resume. They help them with interview skills. And they get them really comfortable for that in that aspect. And from there, they are then moved on to what we call a job developer. The job developer is the person that will send them out on active interviews. And from that point on, they work with them until they find employment. And even after they find employment, we're still there. We still assist them. We're there to be supportive to them as they go through this journey. So we help them to sustain the employment that they now have.
Yes, yeah, Sergio, I mean, you went through this. And so now I understand when you mentioned that you were beautifying, you know, the California's highways. So you start off with the litter abatement crew, but clearly you've blossomed well beyond that with job developers and getting employment.
Absolutely. Honestly, the first step of becoming a participant to Center Employment Opportunities was a stepping stone to a much bigger passion that I've had to continue to help the community. And within that stepping stone, I've done a lot by joining advanced training such as Emerging Leaders Program, which taught us literacy skills, digital skills, as well as business and administration development. Honestly, I've also joined the Advocacy Leadership Committee, which I became a strong advocate that facilitated for most people that were justice impacted to let them know the new bills and new laws. And I've also helped to start new bills and new laws, such as Assembly Bill 247, which was the increased wage for incarcerated firefighters. I'm proudly well-deserved that bill has helped a lot of people, because I've honestly been in that situation where I was a previously incarcerated firefighter, and it was very hard because a lot of the active duties is very life risking, and people don't realize that it's a lot of people that depend on us, you know, people that have kids, people that have families, people that are really dependent on their loved ones. And honestly, $2.65, you know, to pay somebody for their hard work is not a lot for us. And it was very scary because even with the medical, if you were to get injured, there was no medical for us. There's no medical benefit. So you would get sent back to the facility you once were at and would have to start the process over of becoming a incarcerated firefighter.
Yeah, I mean, that's incredible. I mean, you were a firefighter in California during times when we're having some of the largest, most destructive and deadliest wildfires in state history. What did that experience teach you? How did it shape you?
Honestly, before I became an incarcerated firefighter, I didn't have a purpose or passion at all. And once I did become a firefighter, that's when I knew my passion was towards helping people. And I feel like it gave me a purpose. Like, even when saving certain families and certain people outside of the community during these wildfires, it brought an over feeling of gratitude and integrity, honestly. And I feel like they, even those people that needed my help during those times, they felt like I was their guardian angel or somebody special to them. And for me, it was just a regular job. But honestly, them feeling those type of feelings towards me, it made me feel like, hey, I'm not somebody that's being judged as an incarcerated person or a justice impacted person, that I'm just like everybody else.
Yeah, and you're helping others who are in a similar footsteps as you with the governor signing AB 247 into law. I mean, that was a historic pay raise for firefighters who are incarcerated. The state heavily relies on these firefighters to combat wildfires across the state. So that's a full circle moment for you that must feel really good, that you're helping others get compensated more for their work.
Absolutely. I feel that I was very honored to even have the governor, Gavin Newsom, read my testimony and read my story the same day the bill was on his desk. I feel like he has billions of letters that come in, billions of different documents that come in that he has to read. And the fact that he picked my story and testimony to read and actually had time to sit down and go through it thoroughly and read every detail of it to get the bill signed, it was fantastic for me, because it was an overwhelm of joy of, this is not just a regular work or a regular thing to me. This is a legacy that I've started.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, and if you're just joining us, we're learning about the work of the Center for Employment Opportunities in Sacramento, which helps people navigate employment, housing, other essential needs for those who are formerly incarcerated. Carolyn, in addition to employment, as well as sticking with them after participants find a job to ensure that stability, how does the center help with food, housing, transportation, those other essential needs that someone needs?
Yes, for sure. And you're right, they are essential needs. And to a person, when they come through our program and we do our intake on them, I can tell you almost 100% these people are tasked with that, right? And so we've had to find ways to be able to connect them to those needed services. And one of the things that's been really important to help identify for them is that as a Medi-Cal recipient, so if they're not signed up for Medi-Cal, then of course that is something that we help them to do.
And that's changed significantly in recent years, because now you have CalAIM.
Yes.
And CalAIM, according to the state, it advances, innovates Medi-Cal to create a more coordinated, person-centered, equitable health system so members have access to new and improved services. I mean, how is that a game changer for your organization and the work that you do?
Right. It's a game changer because it provides key services for these specific populations. Services that are needed in order for them to not only survive, but to be successful in this new journey of obtaining employment and being able to sustain it. So, yes, there are organizations that are there then connected with through their Medi-Cal enhanced care management providers that will connect them to housing navigation and transportation and just a variety of other services, mental health, behavioral health, respite care, if needed.
Sergio, did CalAIM help you?
Oh, most definitely. From this program, from Center Employment Opportunities, when finding housing, it was very, very difficult at first. But when I found out that there are different programs through Center Employment Opportunities to find housing, even hotel vouchers, as well as through Medi-Cal and CalAIM. CalAIM actually navigated me through the different programs that they have, where they pay for not just the complex that you live in, but also for the furniture, as well as necessities such as food, money for transportation, and even clothes and attire for job interviews.
I just think that it's all interconnected because, I mean, being able to have like stability for housing, transportation, I mean, that allows you to be your best self, to have a job. And, you know, as they say, you know, that cliche statement, be a productive member of society. I mean, it you're part of the community. What are the challenges that still remain when it comes to, I mean, we're talking about some progress with CalAIM, but what are some other challenges and obstacles that you're still working to overcome to make it easier for someone after they have served their time to, you know, get that stability?
Right. As you can imagine, it's not something that happens overnight. The challenge didn't get created overnight, and so we're really cognizant of that. And so we really do try and take a whole person care approach, right? And being able to have the tools available like Medi-Cal, CalAIM, Enhanced Care Management to supplement what it is that we do through the Center for Employment Opportunities, which is to get them ready for employment, to find them a permanent job, and then to support them in that endeavor so that we ensure that they're successful and they feel good about it going forward. Those are the things that have been key and that have been tangible. And we're really proud of the fact that we've been able to quantify that, even down to the local offices. We ourselves have employed members that have come through our program that were formerly justice impacted, and they actually work for us. They're part of our staff. And so we're very, very proud of that.
I would think that's invaluable.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful to see.
When you were going through the program, Sergio, I mean, how was it, you know, talking to some of the people within CEO, the Center for Employment Opportunities, that have had similar experiences that you were going through?
Honestly, I felt like a bit of comfortability knowing that people were in the same situation as me, and not only that, but they can resonate to what's going on in my life. Like, they've already been through it. They've been unhoused. They've been trying to find second chance employers or fair chance employers. I feel like they know what to look for when it comes to finding different resources that I need, because they've went through the same process and they've went through the same pathway. And honestly, seeing them work there gave me an assurance of this pathway works, this program works.
Looking back on your journey, how do you describe your life now compared to, you know, the first day you were released and just trying to figure it out?
Honestly, I feel very confident. I feel very assured, because the first day it was overwhelming. I didn't know where to go, who to turn to, what programs were available, what resources were available. And it was overwhelming, because even with certain conditions of being a returning citizen, you have to abide by a lot of different accommodations or regulations, if you will, such as employment. And finding employment with a background of being justice impacted, it was very difficult. It was very difficult. But to know that there are programs like Center Employment Opportunities, it just made me feel at ease. And now being a part of Center Employment Opportunities, I feel like it's more than just helping the average individual. It's more of a family, if you will, because they will help you through everything, whether if it's finding employment, finding housing, finding the right outlet or resource that you need for your predicament. They're, you know, 100% they got your back.
And you get to start thinking about the future. Have you thought about any future career goals?
Most definitely. I thought about going back to school for business administration so I can start a nonprofit to help more justice impacted individuals. And not only that, but to continue advocating for the community as well.
And Carolyn, how can people get connected with the Center for Employment Opportunities if they themselves need your help and resources, or if they want to help themselves and help the organization and help someone who's formerly incarcerated?
Mm-hmm. For sure. If they are justice impacted and they have a parole agent or probation officer, they can have them reach out to us, and we have a process that we vet them through. We actually will be able to put them on a waiting list. And as you can imagine, you know, once people find out about us, sometimes the waiting list gets kind of long, but we get to you. So don't give up. Reach out to your probation officer. Reach out to your parole officer. And then we have other organizations that we partner with in the area that will also act as a referral source.
Yeah, and if someone or an employer is like, hey, I'm just learning about this organization, I would like to help, how do they connect with you?
For sure, and that's one of the important aspects of our job developers, or what we call them, business account managers. They literally have an active list of employers that are working with the populations that we serve, and so they are always engaged and always ready to accept new engagements from employers that see the value in the program and things. So for sure, just reach out to us.
Well, Carolyn and Sergio, thank you so much for taking the time and stopping by.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
Carolyn Thomas is the site director for the Center for Employment Opportunities in Sacramento. Sergio Maldonado is a participant in the program. The Center for Employment Opportunities, also known as CEO, in Sacramento helps people navigate employment, housing, other essential needs for those formerly incarcerated. Still ahead, Santa Claus is coming to the Crest Theater in the form of Peter Petty. We'll hear from the Sacramento band leader as he prepares for his 10th Yuletide review. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.